Good morning. Last week, we continued the series of messages based on the MCAJ's vision, Achieving Excellence in Ministry Through Effective Christ-Centered Leadership and Living Within the Next 5 Years. We examined in brief the life of Moses, a tremendous man of God who stands head and shoulders above leaders in the Old Testament and who was called to leadership at a most crucial time in the life of the children of Israel. This week, we'll begin focusing on Paul, the most outstanding leader in the New Testament apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be delving into the background and life of this great man of God in some depth, examining his call to ministry, his motivation, commitment, persistence, and accomplishment, and particularly his display of excellence through effective Christ-centered leadership and living. This Jewish Pharisee is first encountered in the book of Acts under his Hebrew name, Saul, mentioned in Acts 7:58 and 39. He was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, which was in Asia Minor, modern-day southern Turkey. He was probably born around 10 years after Christ, since he is referred to as a young man at the time of Stephen's stoning, Acts 7:58. Paul's father was no doubt Jewish, but must have bought or been given Roman citizenship. For Paul later made use of the fact that he was a Roman citizen by birth and therefore had the right to be tried in Rome by Caesar, Acts 22, verse 25. Despite his citizenship, Paul had been brought up in a devout Jewish family from the tribe of Benjamin. He had received careful instruction in the Jewish law and had joined the Pharisees, a Jewish religious sect and political group that was known for their strict adherence to Jewish law and traditions. He also described himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had been brought up in accordance with the law, having been circumcised on the 8th day, and he had become zealous to follow every point of the Mosaic commands, Philippians 3, verse 5 and 6. So zealous was he for the law and for his faith that he had traveled at some stage, probably in his early teenage years, to Jerusalem, where he had studied under a famous teacher called Gamaliel. Paul later spoke to Jewish leaders of that time. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Acts 22, verse 3. Even Jewish teachers were expected to have a trade to work at, and so it comes as no surprise that this highly educated religious leader had also been taught a craft by his father. He was a tent maker, Acts 18, verse 3, and from time to time, mention is made of how he worked to support himself, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8. There's ample evidence in these and other passages that Paul deliberately worked so as not to impose any burden on those among whom he wished to proclaim an absolutely free gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 19. Also, given the way traveling teachers and philosophers in his time would often expect people to support them with food and finances, he probably deliberately sought to avoid being regarded as just another roaming teacher. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 to verse 6. Let's look at Paul's life and travels. Being educated as he was, and with such a universally acceptable trade, it is likely that Paul had traveled widely before he became a Christian. He would, of course, have been fluent in Greek and Hebrew or Aramaic, possibly both. He is first noted in Acts, watching people's clothing as the crowd stoned Stephen to his death because of his faith, commitment to Christ, and the desire to promote the gospel. Saul was there, giving his approval to his death. Acts 7, 58 to chapter 8, verse 1. Paul, the persecutor of Christians. From the time of Stephen's death, a great persecution broke out against the followers of Jesus. Saul's zealous activity as a Jew led him to join the persecutions. He needed no urging to this, but rather volunteered his services to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. So violent was his persecution that we read, Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Acts 8 verse 3. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Philippians 3 verse 6. In Acts chapter 9 verse 1, we read that Saul, breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, went to the high priest for letters he could take with him to the synagogues in Damascus in order to pursue the persecution there as well. Let's look at the conversion and call of Paul. It was while he was on his way to Damascus that Acts 9 tells us that a bright light from heaven flashed around him, throwing him to the ground and blinding him. As he lay on the ground, a voice spoke to him saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Baffled, Saul asked, Who are you, Lord? And the response he received must have truly amazed and frightened him. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Acts 9, 4-5. Jesus then told Saul to go to Damascus and await further instructions. Saul waited in Damascus for 3 days without eating and drinking before being visited by Ananias, a Christian brother. This time without eating and drinking was probably a time of fasting and repentance. For we are told that when Ananias came to Paul, he found him praying. Verse 11. Ananias laid hands on Paul. His sight was restored. He received the Holy Spirit and he was baptized. Then Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, no doubt learning as much as he could about Jesus. However, there was not much time for that learning process, as he at once began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts 9 verse 20. His extraordinary theological understanding, coupled with a complete change in his perspective on Christ, enabled him to baffle the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 22. Vision can change your life. If you, as a leader, are lacking in vision, it's time to seek the Lord for a vision. A compelling vision that will propel you into his service. That is what happened to Saul. He had a vision from the Lord, and that got him started, exalting Jesus. As we look back today, we can see the power of vision in Paul's life. Seek God for his vision as you engage in leadership. Next week, we'll continue looking at the power of vision in Paul's life. God bless you.